Welcome to the European CME Forum podcast. European CME Forum is a not-for-profit organization that promotes multi-channel discussion on matters relating to European and global CME CPD. My name is Eugene Pozniak. I'm the program director of European CME Forum. The 16th annual European CME Forum took place 8th to 10th of November 2023 in The Hague, the Netherlands. Today's episode is the last of 2023, so we thought we would round off the year by sharing one of our most popular sessions from 16ECF. The focus of today's episode is how CME CPD is implemented around the world. This panel discussion was led by Chris Elmet and features expert insights from Lema Aldakil from the Saudi Commission for Health Specialties in Saudi Arabia, Rostislav Marushko from Group of Companies MedExpert in Ukraine, Vaibhav Srivastava from Insignia Learning in India, and Lisa Sullivan from InVivo Academy in Australia.
So let's get into our first panel session. Yesterday, the theme was listening to each other, and today we're going to be listening to others. And I think it's very easy as we sit here to get great insights from comparing US, Europe, looking how the two work together, and it's very easy to forget that we're in a slightly bigger world than that, and actually there's lots that we can learn from around the world and other models. And I'm really pleased that we have four people who are able to share their experience on this. So we've got voices from Ukraine, from India, from Saudi Arabia, and then a sort of Pan-Asia role, Australia, but also pulling in lots of insights also from other models in Asia. So I'm going to ask, first of all, each of our panelists to introduce themselves. Just tell us who you are and where you're from. And then after we've done that, then we'll look at your models. So Lema, can I start with you at the end, please?
So hi, everyone. Good morning. Thanks, Chris. My name is Lema Aldakhil. I'm from Saudi Arabia. I'm the director for CPD in the Saudi Commission for Health Specialties.
Fantastic.
Good morning. I'm Vaibhav Srivastava from India. I have a medical education company based in Mumbai, and we do CPD activities right from the North Africa, Middle East, India, and Asia Pacific.
Fantastic.
I think everybody knows me. I'm Lisa Sullivan. I run a medical education company in Australia, and I'm really responsible for much of Asia and Australia, and also do work on a global scale.
My name is Rostislav Marushko. I'm from Ukraine, Kyiv. I'm doctor, medical doctor, a pediatrician from the beginning. I'm doctor of medical science professor, working at National Academy of Medical Science of Ukraine and teaching students at National Medical University. I represent one organization called Group of Companies MedExpert, which is a publisher with three medical journals in Scopus and a CPD provider accredited by ACCME since 2020. CME CPD for me is a hobby.
Is a hobby, so just do it in your spare time. Fantastic. Well, look, I'm going to ask you to keep the microphone, actually, Rostislav, because why don't we start with, I'd like to hear a little bit about each of your systems and how CME CPD is implemented in your country or your region. So Rostislav, let me start with you. How's the system implemented in Ukraine?
Ukraine is a country which had a long time continual medical education. But this system, which we used before, came from Soviet Union, and we called it old Soviet era system. I just would like to say that it was invented, but this term was invented by Eugene Pozniak, who visited Ukraine a few years ago, and he really helped us with the implementation of CPD. In Ukraine, many generations of doctors were maintaining and improving their professionalism through this old system. Also, there are some other names of this system were like postgraduate education or post-diploma education. But in the middle of last decade, Ukraine was at a turning point in how to approach effective postgraduate education, like CME-CPD. Most who dealt with continuing education had a willing to adopt more Western or international standards. Ukraine really needed a new system that would correspond to the criteria and standards of CME-CPD. So resuming this in March 2018, Cabinet of Ministers of Ukraine has approved a resolution, regulation on system of continuing professional development of healthcare professionals, declaring there some main principle of CPD, and we consider this year, 2018, like a new era in developing in the Ukrainian national system. In fact, implementation of CPD in Ukraine began since 2021. You know, we had pandemic, we had a lot of issues to be solved. So we received another document by Cabinet of Ministers of Ukraine, which summarized the results of fruitful collaboration of all stakeholders and the Ministry of Health of Ukraine. And this document represented comprehensive explanation or practical steps on how the implementation of CPD will be carried out. So we begin to implement this CPD in Ukraine. So what we have now, Ministry of Health of Ukraine is the main and only accreditation body. To ensure the implementation of CPD, a platform, we call it system like PARS at ACCME, has been designed to processing and analysis of entered information, storage and protection of data, access to the system of healthcare workers and providers. In perspective, the system will provide open interagency data exchange and obtaining information through interaction with other systems and resources. For technical support of the system has been appointed administrator, which is a state organization in the structure of Ministry of Health of Ukraine called Testing Center. So this system is carrying out three functions: registration or accreditation of CPD providers, participation in attestation or certification, and management of education activities. Currently, Ukraine utilizes a model of accreditation of education activities, which is similar to EBAC, but current model is more flexible, easier, having quick resolution of any issues compared to old Soviet system. So it was very big progress, and we are on right direction just to implement new system, CPD in Ukraine. And despite the war, Ukraine is consistently moving ahead, implementing CPD in Ukraine. Thank you very much.
That's great. Thank you. So, there's a quick overview on Ukraine. Lisa, I think I'm going to come to you last, actually, because you're going to cover a number of countries. So I'll hand the microphone over here. And Lama, can you give us a quick overview on Saudi, a little bit, that the system you've got at the moment and the journey you're on?
Yes, definitely. Well, Saudi Arabia has been going through a massive change in terms, I think, among all sectors. So what is unique maybe with our CPD health system, that is, it's regulated by the Saudi Commission for Health Specialties. And the Saudi Commission for Health Specialties is a regulator for most things related to healthcare practitioners, including registration, including postgrad training, and also assessment. So sometimes it makes things easier for us to regulate CPD, and sometimes this is a challenge for the actual providers. So what happens is 5 years ago, we started the transformation for CPD, where it was purely a non-provider accreditation system and only accrediting activities, where the actual accreditation of the activities was more of a formality. So we are implementing a provider accreditation system and an activity accreditation system. So there are different sectors, of course, that we are accrediting. The first is governmental versus private versus nonprofit. Saudi Arabia in the past, as for the CPD providers, was mostly done by the governmental sectors. And now we can surely say that the private sector has exceeded, where I think around 46 to 47% now are private CPD providers versus what it was before. And also the nonprofit organizations for us are basically the medical associations, where we are trying to empower them to take a stronger role in CPD accreditation and CPD provision. One of the things also that I wanted to mention is that we are accrediting providers, we are accrediting activities, and we are also recognizing self-directed learning for the healthcare practitioners. Is this something that we are pushing them towards, and towards building their own CPD profile, let's say?
That's great. And just in terms of your practitioners, we heard at lunchtime yesterday from the Dutch system how the CPD that you have to do a lot, 200 hours, I think it was. Are there any structures like that, or is there any guidance like that in Saudi Arabia?
Well, yes, there is, and it depends on the specialty, the main specialty. So, for example, we're going to start with physicians and dentists with the highest number of hours that is required. It's 60 CPD hours per registration cycle, which is 2 years. So per year, it's 30 hours. And then with the least among the technicians, where mm-hmm. it's required 30 hours per registration cycle, so 15 hours per year. And this is honestly now under provision, and we're in the process of changing this and also building a national CPD framework to take into consideration learners' behavior, to take into consideration innovation, technology, and all of the new tools that are being utilized in implementation of CPD.
Great. And just final quick question from me, and we'll open out to the audience when we've heard about the other systems, but final quick question. You said you do activities and providers, you accredit both. Are there particular domains where you do one rather than the other, or is it just because you've got a sort of a bit of a mix and you'll work towards more provider-based accreditation in the long term?
Yeah, so for now we are accrediting both. There's no difference between any provider. We have to accredit each provider and accredit each activity. And we just recently, in the beginning of 2023, started the second re-accreditation, the second cycle of accreditation, where honestly we were amazed by the maturity level. We weren't so sure beginning in 2019 what the maturity level was at, since we weren't actually looking into the quality. But upon reaccreditation, beginning of 2023, the maturity level, we were astonished by it. We expected it to be, let's say, 50, 60%, and we were shocked that it was around 85, 90% in terms of the maturity level. Uh-huh. So in the future, we are looking, of course, towards accrediting only providers for them to accredit their own activities. But this is in the near future.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. Let's go on then to Vaibhav. Tell us a little bit about the system in India, how that's evolving.
So whatever Lama has spoken, we follow the same, almost same. So I will use only the different point, which is different to India. We don't have one governing body. Of course, we have mother body called National Medical Commission. But India, being a large country, have 28 different states, and every state have their own regional medical council. So doctor who is practicing in particular provinces, they have to register in the local regional medical council, and they are accountable for that. So National Medical Commission has passed the rule that's 30 credit hours in 5 years, but it's the advisory. So every state has interpreted their own way. They have a different rules, and out of 28, 10 has made the CME regulated. So we work in the partial regulated market. But I'm a provider, so I will give you the brief how the provider works, how the ecosystem works here. So the government, NMC or Medical Council, they allow us to do a good CME, unbiased CME, through industry support. Nothing is possible, in my word, without industry support. But still we deliver very high quality, unbiased education. The government trusts us, and the regulators trust us, and doctors are smart enough to understand which is biased, which is unbiased. So we get the credit points for our education activities. So doctors are free to attend any CMEs. There are national congress, regional congress, local congress. There are private providers. There are society. So this ecosystem works in our part of the world. But yes, industry funding is key, because even in my part of the world, society, they have cardio society, orthopedic society. There's no term of every annual fees for societies, one time, lifetime. That's one time they pay. So that is not a culture there that the doctor is paying for the each and piece of educations. And there's no incentivization of the doctors also to attend the CME. They get the credit point very easily to attend a national congress or a small congress. So for them, there's no motivation. And 75% doctors do the private practice. So if we are calling them for to attend an education program, they have to leave the practice. So they are away from the practice, they're losing the money. So nobody is compensating. And there's no harsh regulation right now, but it is gradually is moving towards. Regulators, yes, they identify both providers as well as activities. So we have to register provider and apply for the your activities to get the credit points. So that's the system we follow in India.
Fantastic. So just picking up on your practitioners, so you said 30 hours in 5 years, is that right? And they're going to do that by going to one meeting.
For 1 hour webinar, we get 0.25 points.
So, okay.
So you can multiply. You can say that 25 credit hours, like the Holland Dutch says.
Yeah.
Around 25 hours in a year.
Fine. But it's advisory, so they don't absolutely have to do it. We heard in Holland, it's kind of, you've really got to do it. And some people are under pressure late in the year to get their hours up. So if it's advisory and if most of them are private practitioners, so what is the motivation? What's the uptake? I mean, how much as a provider, you know, what are the numbers are you seeing taking up your courses?
So that's what I say, the high quality education, where the SCP attend the education program and get something which they can implement their practice, they improve their practice. That's the crux in providing some education. So it's totally open. You have to be a very high credible providers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are engaging doctors for 2 hours, 3 hours, you can't waste their time.
Yeah,
you have to be on toes, your need assessment, your outcome, your learning objective, your selection of speaker, your content selections has to be on dot. Then only you can engage doctors.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks, Vaibhav. So Lisa, let me come to you. You can tell us a bit about the Australian system, but actually, also keen to hear your experience of other systems, maybe in Asia, you know, the different models that are being, how things are being approached in different countries, maybe.
So I think if I start with Australia, because that seems to be probably the most common request that I get, obviously we have specialists and GPs predominantly, and obviously nurses and pharmacists and so on. But if I look at specialties particularly, they don't have an accreditation system per se. They do, but the societies don't accredit programs because all of the specialists in Australia self-report. So they have to go online and they actually self-report all of the education. So most of the societies will endorse programs. They don't necessarily accredit per se. It is up to the physician themselves to decide whether it's a national conference they've attended or whether it's provider-based education that they're attending, and then they self-report online through a personal development plan. The interesting thing that's happened in the last 12 months is that the Medical Board of Australia has changed all the rules. So in primary care, the GPs are running ragged, scared to death, because they have no idea what they're supposed to be doing, so which happens regularly. So basically what now happens is that within GP land, we work on a 3-year triennium, but now they have to get 100 points a year. In the last triennium, they had to get 130 points in 3 years. So you can imagine how that's impacting on some of our primary care doctors. And what they now also have to do is what we call reviewing performance. So out of the 100 points that they have to do each year, basically they have to do some form of PDSA or audit or something as a reviewing performance. And they have no idea how to do that. No idea. So it's a very interesting situation that we're in. But obviously with primary care, we have a provider accreditation system. We are an accredited provider. There are lots of accredited providers to the primary care industry in Australia. So it's quite advanced. The challenge we face is that IME in Australia is pretty much non-existent, other than in the specialties. But in the primary care space, most of my competitors will tell you that they're IME providers, but I can assure you that they're not. If we then look at Asia, Asia is a very interesting non-homogeneous series of countries. Some of the countries have very advanced systems. I mean, China has a very good CPD system, an extremely advanced system. It's jolly difficult to do it there unless you have a Chinese partner, but their system is very, very good. Certainly in Japan, it's a little more challenging. And with Japan, they only like their education in incredibly short bursts, 10 minutes. So, you know, there is a major provider that works out of Japan, and they make it very clear to me every time I talk to them, you know, your education has to be 10 minutes, no more than 10 minutes. And similarly, they don't like to go outside of Japan, so your education needs to somehow be in the Japanese system so that it's easy for them to access. So it's very different. And then if we come into some of the Southeast Asian countries, they all have an accreditation system pretty much. It's pretty easy for the doctors to get their points, but pharma is very, very involved. Very similar to the Indian situation, a large percentage of the education outside of the society education is funded by, organised by, and paid by pharma. So it's very different.
Okay, excellent. Just picking up on that point about industry involvement, Vaibo, I'll go back to you. Can you just... You said it's all funded by pharma, and the reason that it's all funded by pharma or by industry is because there just isn't the culture of a practitioner paying a yearly fee or paying for their education. Quite clear. But what is the involvement of pharma? What bit do they get involved in?
So India is a branded generic market. So and there's nobody in between the industry and doctors. There's no insurance is controlling the pricing or deciding the which molecules or which product to be prescribed. So pharma and doctor have the direct relations.
Right.
And the doctors, and so pharma has to engage doctors and they have to give the services. So the use of our CME CPD or good education as a service is to engage doctors. But yes, if you are a CME CPD talking about, it is a non-molecule based, it is a therapy based, it is a competency development based, it is a CPD. So they involvement is still they discuss the challenge, need, outcome, learning objectives, periods. Post that, it's our role. There's a firewall that they can't influence or talk to the speakers. They can't influence the speaker to talk about some certain studies. That's where they are accepting this ecosystem, and that's how we are able to deliver the unbiased education. So pharma only funds to help us to execute some good educations, and that platform they use to service their doctors. And that's how they build relation and rapport with the doctors.
Fantastic. That's great. Thank you. So I'll go to the audience now. Who's got a question for our panel, for anyone in our panel?
Lama, can you talk a little bit about the effort of the Saudi Commission with your CPD champions? Because it's unusual. I've not ever known an accrediting body to do something like that, to develop the expertise in the system.
Yeah, sure, Kate. So as I was mentioning, the Saudi Commission has a very distinctive role maybe than other organization or accreditors around the world. And our number one concern is building a CPD community of practice in the kingdom. So when we were looking into that, let's say 5 years ago, we were looking at it holistically. We wanted to build the whole system in terms of all aspects related to it. And the Saudi system helps you to do so, since regulators have a little bit more of the management power currently in the sector. So what happened was that even in the CPD department, we have multiple departments. One of the main departments that we have is capability development department, where we are looking into developing capabilities among the Saudi Commission employees, among our scientific committees that are working with us in revising the activities, among the CPD providers themselves. So for example, even one of the eligibility criteria for getting accredited is attending a specific CPD fundamentals program. And recently we just launched a CPD empowerment program, practices and ethics. And then the third part, which is we really invested in it, was the CPD champions. The CPD champions is an 8 to 9 month course where we're building different concepts, where we're enhancing specific capabilities among the Saudi Commission employees and also from different providers around the kingdom. And we also included some of the providers from the Gulf countries, the first batch. So this batch graduated in March 2022. And now we recently, in the beginning of October, started the second batch. We have different courses, webinars, assessments, and then we have an end of program also meeting, which is a two-day meeting where the CPD champions present their action plans and present the research that they worked on and present the projects that they will go back to their providers and try to enhance among their systems. So a lot of efforts have been made in regard to the CPD champions, and still we are looking towards more of this in the future.
Fantastic. It's awesome. Awesome. Any other questions for our panel? Who else has got a question?
Could I ask a question?
Yeah, go for it, Lisa. Yeah.
So, Lama, these champions, what's the objective? Is it so that they become part of the faculty stream for all of the CPD that's presented, or are they going to be sort of like train the trainers? What's the objective of having these?
So I'm going to take you maybe step by step, because batch one was a little bit different than batch two. So when we started batch one, it was about capability development, purely capability development, and having CPD champions around the kingdom and building specific capacity in them and knowledge and skills in terms of CPD concepts. And also the change from CME to CPD was a little bit challenging for us in Saudi Arabia. So CPD, the batch one was a different objective, and we were hoping that we were just sending them back to their providers so they could actually present and implement better CPD activities. So what we did in batch two is that we linked the batch one graduates with the batch two graduates and then becoming mentors for the second CPD champions. And this is also happening now. So we are involving them in multiple committees. We are involving them in many decisions that we are making as regulators. And we are also linking them with other CPD champions in order for them to guide them through the way. So this is our plan of having what I talked about is the CPD community of practice across the kingdom. And we're also looking to extend into the MENA region overall, and if we can later on internationally across the MENA region.
We've got a question here.
So I think many providers try to be more global. So could each of you comment on how a provider could enter into your area, either through collaboration or on their own? What are best practices and what are things they should avoid?
Who wants to go first on that? Go on.
Thank you, Lawrence. So, I mean, it's a really terrific question, because I think the concept of collaboration, particularly on the global scale, I get lots of people that reach out to me and want to know more about Australia or Asia. And I think that's a really wise thing, because certainly for me, you know, I love to collaborate. There are people in this room with whom I have already collaborated on programs that might be in Australia or they might be in Asia, or in fact, they might be global. So, but I think the challenge is, you do need to make that contact very early, because the challenge I'm finding is that people are coming to me and saying, well, I've already got this program and I want to roll it out in 5 countries across Asia. Well, I'm sorry, you can't do that. So, you know, just don't even think about it. So if you come early enough and you say, okay, so we're thinking of doing this, we've done the needs assessment, and this is what it's telling us, how would we go about it? Because in most of the Asian countries, you must collaborate with an accredited provider who will be an association or a hospital, and they're jolly difficult to collaborate with if you don't already have a contact. So my only suggestion would be, you know, collaboration is fabulous, love it, want to do more of it, but make sure that you come at the very early planning stage rather than at the development stage.
So collaboration, not imposition.
I will give you an answer differently. India also, we have a McDonald's, and we follow the same process. The kitchen layout, the process are all same. The only thing, our taste bud is different, so we love that aloo tikki burger, the potato burger, veggie burger. Okay. So if you want to collaborate, you come this in mind that culturally they are different. We take the good services from established CME world, how you do the need assessment, how you do the define the learning objective, how you do the behavior outcome, how you do the modeling of Moore model, Dalmore models. So we follow all these things, but you have to adopt the locally also, the which I say the 70-30% rule, which I presented in the AME also. So if you are open with us, that's culturally they are different. Isn't it not an ACCME regulated market? Kate is sitting in front of me. So if we are not that stringent, we have to accept the industry minimum requirement of acknowledging them in our CME practice. You are done. You can do a lot of CMEs in India.
Thank you. Right.
Maybe I have a different comment on what was mentioned by my colleagues. So in Saudi Arabia, it's a little bit different since there has been massive changes that have been going on for the past 5 to 10 years. So for us is actually understanding the market need. So we have everything that's published, let's say, in regards to Vision 2030 and the goals and objectives. So creating the need and coming to us with something that we do not have, I think is the major issue, because currently we have a lot of international providers and international organizations also approaching us. So what makes you stand out, understanding the need, and this is all published on the Vision 2030 website. Also, we have a lot of collaborations, as was mentioned, so you are allowed to come and collaborate with other organizations, but again, also having the contact to collaborate with them is the tricky part. But the Saudi Commission is always keen on linking the right organizations to the right providers. So we do play a role in that, maybe not officially, but unofficially, if there is value, high value of CPD in the system, we'd be more than glad also to link that. We also accredit e-learning platforms, international e-learning platforms, which is already done. We have currently 5 international organizations who are accredited as e-learning providers. But coming into Saudi Arabia, now the new rule has changed, since you actually have to have presence in Saudi Arabia in order for you to enter the market.
You okay? That's great, thank you. Rustav, could you tell us a little bit about if a provider wants to come into Ukraine to provide programs, is that possible? How could that work?
Okay, in Ukraine, many providers invite experts, mm-hmm. not only from Ukraine, because we have good speakers, but not only speakers. They are also good clinicians. They are good researchers, and they are experienced in many issues concerning medical care for our patients. But we also enforce our willing to increase the quality of education. Mm-hmm. And we invite international experts. Many educational activities, they have international experts invited from abroad, and we just communicate with them, we explain what we need, what we ask them to do, and then provide for us very interesting sessions, even sessions, not only 1, 2, 3 sessions. Mm-hmm. And this is all for benefits of education.
Brilliant.
In Ukraine. Yeah.
And just in terms of how those are organized, mostly virtual or some in person? And then the second question is, how do you handle the language from your external experts?
Okay. Before COVID-19, we invited experts, international experts, to come to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. It is much better because we can communicate directly and we get more information. During pandemic and now this war, we communicate online. Mm-hmm. Online, but also trying to make the closer as possible. If there's possible to come, they come. But mostly we are working now only online. It's not possible to. Mm. It's very dangerous. So this is what we are doing.
Yeah, understood. Fantastic.
And Chris, just to build on that, sorry about that. So the fantastic panel. And I think this is a representation of maturity of CPD systems. I think I'd love to hear the panel's comments about this. Amy conducted research in 53 countries in CPD systems, mm-hmm. China, Latin America, Europe, Middle East, North Africa. And not only did they talk to the experts, but they talked to the practitioners. And it is amazing the variance of levels of maturity and sophistication of systems from mandatory to voluntary to non-existent. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, panel, what do you feel about when you have to go into an area where there's not as sophisticated a system and implement education?
Who has experience of that?
Well, it's really tough. And I think, as Lema said very clearly, it's about understanding the cultures as well. I think it's important for us when we're going anywhere that's not where we're used to being, we need to understand the cultures. I think the interesting thing is, even in those countries where there is nothing, there is still a lot of CPD going on, huge amount, like with India. I mean, you know, there's only 10 states in India that have actually mandated CPD, and yet it goes on everywhere, and Vaibhav and his competitors get thousands of doctors coming to their programs. So, you know, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that it's going on everywhere. It just, as Lawrence has quite clearly said, the systems are different, but the education is still there, mm-hmm. and some of it is very good, some of it's pretty ordinary, but lots of it is very, very good, and we shouldn't demean the fact that it isn't accredited or they don't have a system, because sometimes they just don't have a government that can get themselves together enough to put a system in place.
Fantastic. I'm just aware I've got a red flashing light and lots of zeros. I think that means I'm supposed to stop. So can I ask you to put your hands together and warmly thank our panel for their insights?
I hope you enjoyed this 16 ECF session on how CME CPD is implemented around the world, with education system insights from Saudi Arabia, Ukraine, India, Australia, and Asia. If you attended the meeting, please complete the brief post-meeting survey and let us know your thoughts. We'll be closing the survey at the end of 2023, so add your voice before then. Registered participants will also have exclusive access to recordings from the meeting sessions, which will be made live in the new year. Finally, I wish to thank all the participants of 16 ECF, as well as our sponsors and partners for supporting European CME Forum. I would also like to thank you for listening. I wish you and your loved ones a happy holiday season and peaceful new year. And join us for more episodes as we continue through 2024 to explore all things CME CPD.